Welcome to the Information Technology Podcast, sponsored by Do IT Smarter. Knowledge, tools, build, grow. Don't just do IT, do IT smarter.
I don't even know that much kind of about your background at all, but tell me, how did you get involved with IT?
So I started out as, the guy in the office that seemed to have a gifting towards computers, and so became the de facto IT guy in a small office back in the mid-90s. I was working for a nonprofit that grew from like 3 people to 15 and at times 20. And so as more computers came in and network needed to be added and managed, that all just kind of fell to me. And so after doing that for some time, discovered that I actually did have some propensity and liked it, so began to pursue a career in IT. At the time, I was living in the southeast United States and actually spent about a year in Mississippi, which trying to build an IT career in Mississippi is kind of difficult. So my wife and I moved to the Seattle area in 2000, and I got hooked up with a great organization that was a big bar in the area that also provided IT services, support, and installation, implementation, etc. So I worked with them for about 8 years until just this spring.
What made you want to go out kind of on your own and start your own business?
Well, it's kind of been something that I've wanted to do off and on. It's kind of been a bit of a dream. I think a lot of people have it's an American kind of thing to want to own your own company and run your own business, and you work for people long enough and start to go, gosh, I could do this different or better, or or just see that there's great opportunity. In my case, I was working for a company that really focused on enterprise clients. We spent about a year trying to break into the SMB market, but couldn't really scale ourselves down. My initial background had been in the SMB space in that small, under 50 computer area. So kind of had an affinity towards that, but saw that in the company that I was in, we really couldn't execute very well. And also, it wasn't just execution, it's also incenting the sales force to go out and find the SMB clients was a challenge. So I saw that if somebody would just didn't have the overhead problems that we had as a large VAR, that you could really get into that SMB market, and if you could deliver the services as well as sell them, then you had a good package. So that's what spurred me to just step out and go on my own.
And so how long has it been that you've been on your own?
First week of April was when I started up the business. March 31st was my last day as an employee, and so we're just finishing up basically the first quarter that I've been in business.
And what was kind of the toughest transition for you?
Cash flow is a thing that is different to go from the steady, the paycheck comes in every 2 weeks to the paycheck comes in when you invoice for it and then go and make sure that the customer writes the check. It hasn't been a real problem to this point, but it's been an adjustment, doing the monthly budget for our household budget based on if we're going to get X here and X here to here's what we need, so I need to go out and get X and X and X and keep getting, all the X's I can get to meet those needs. So that has been the biggest kind of you know, dealing with cash flow changes is kind of a big step going from employee to self-employed or business owner.
So tell me some of the strategies that you've been using to create demand, because ultimately, you know, starting your own business, if you don't have the demand for your services, you're just going to be sitting at home waiting to kind of go. And it sounds to me, you know, based upon getting to know you a little bit, that you are a little bit more business minded. So share with us a little bit more of the techniques that you are using to kind of go out there and create more of a demand for, you know, your service.
Sure. I spent a good 3 months of solid planning before I actually went out and started my company. So I was looking at different methods for advertising and for generating demand, and you know, looked at everything from TV commercials to the Craigslist type advertising, and none of that really seemed to, one, it either was too expensive or too flooded with competition that I felt, you know, I'm just going to get lost in the shuffle in some of these venues. And it was right about the time that I was getting ready to leave my employment that a friend of mine introduced me to BNI, which is Business Networking International. And BNI is not a magic group or anything, but the being in some type of a networking group has been, for me, the important marketing decision that I made to generate demand. So I know that different people have had different experiences with BNI, some good, some bad, or I shouldn't say bad, some not so good. I've had the good fortune of ending up in a solid group where I've made some relationships with, most notably with a local web development company. And before I actually joined BNI, I actually had made another relationship with a web development company because I had found from talking with them that their clients thought of them as the technology people, period. And so if you do my websites, then surely you can take care of my servers and upgrade my desktops and, you know, do all of the, you know, install applications for me and all of those kind of things. And the people in those web companies are like, that's not what we do. That's not what we want to do. But and so when I said, hey, I'd love to be your go-to person, they were happy to have somebody to say, we don't do that, but here's the person you can talk to. And likewise, if I work with a small customer that says, well, you do our servers and take care of our desktops and take care of our technology, can you build us a website? I just turn around and say, not my deal, but here are some great companies that you can talk to that are great at doing that work. And so we have a symbiotic relationship there that works out.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the magic in doing networking is that you're not necessarily looking for a sale. You're more along the lines looking for a link. You're looking for someone who you can kind of partner with or work with in an informal environment where you can refer your clients to them and they can refer your clients or their clients to you. And it sounds like that really hit it out of the park for you.
Yeah, actually, in the first 3 months of my business here, with the exception of just this past week, 100% of my business came from referrals through the relationships I made at BNI. So, I feel for just an initial startup, our first quarter has been relatively successful. I'm looking forward to the next quarter and have work lined up into and through this coming quarter. And so that's totally, I would say, is attributable to the relationships in you know, the business networking relationships. And so I'm a big fan and a big advocate for pursuing that type of a marketing strategy.
Yeah, and you did something really interesting that I actually thought was brilliant. Is you know, being a partner with Do IT Smarter, we introduced you to the best practice assessment, and then tell us a little bit more about how you use that best practice assessment actually as a kind of a cash flow tool.
Sure, yeah. As I was getting ramped up, I had a couple of leads that or referrals that I followed up on, and as I'm I'm intentional in trying to move every client eventually into a managed service arrangement. But I don't want to go into a managed service agreement that without knowing what's going on in their network, and that's pretty much what I've, as I've met with clients and prospects, have said, we're going to get to a point where you will be paying me a flat fee to keep your network running, and it will be significantly less than what you're currently paying either another provider or an IT staff that you have, or an IT person that you have on staff. And actually, in the customers that I've come in contact with are replacing their on-site IT staff, which is where I come in. And so that makes that sale pretty easy because they look at what they pay for an individual who's on their staff, a person that's W-2'd, which means their loaded cost is much more than what they actually get in salary. So I can come and offer them something a lot more inexpensive, a lot more cost-effective, easier to budget for, but I can't just walk in blind and say it will be X amount of dollars per month to provide you the services that you need. I need to go in first and see what you have, and coincidentally, it seems that the clients that I'm engaging with want to know what they have going on in their technology because in their technology space because they don't really have an idea themselves, and so I've packaged up the best practice assessment with some other network documentation, and then I've honestly I've renamed it into a business and technology assessment so that it's not just a pure technology play, but also is the technology that you have, does it fit your business? Do you have too much of something? Do you have not enough of something? I will lay out whether you have where your business and technology equilibrium is at and put that into a report. And so then I put that out there as a for sale product that companies have so far been happy to pay for because I have a tangible handoff that they're getting that is something that they've probably never had before, which is a full network documentation and recommendations from a third party that they're already viewing as somebody that's a consultant and not just the tech guy to say these are where you might have some areas of risk exposure or weakness such as no backup or antivirus that's not managed, and I can so they have a recommendations that they can act upon and understand from a business perspective what the benefit to them is going to be. And the things that I point out as exposures or problems, they look to me and say, okay, so can you fix all these things? Which I either through just a remediation project or as part of a managed service offering using tools such as those that are available through DoIT Smarter, I can offer them remediation, and we've transitioned them into a managed service client. I've worked it out to be able to get paid for doing the assessment, paid for doing the remediation on the assessment, and then we're at a point where we can go into a contract for managed services. And so for me, I found that to be a good way to go and really necessary for me since starting off with zero cash flow to start, I needed to ramp that up pretty quickly.
Yeah, and the other thing I notice about you in particular, I work with a lot of startups, but one thing I noticed with your business in particular is you spent some significant time on your branding and also on your website and everything that I get from you is very professional and always has your branding on it, always has your colors somewhere integrated. And I think that translates to the confidence that you can kind of deliver, even though you're somewhat new in the, you know, managed service space, if you will. You have a much, you're much more confident in the sense that you can say, hey, you know, my time to just assess this mess is worth something, you know? So, I mean, I need to tell you up front that, you know, it's $2,000 just to get me out here and to tell you that you have a big mess on your hands. And so I think that's awesome. I think it's brilliant that you have that confidence and that you can, you know, just put that forth and, you know, kind of, you know, weed these people out that are just looking for a price or kicking tires and stuff like that. Do you think that you're, I guess the initial question would be, are you missing any business because, you're maybe a little bit too aggressive?
No, at this point, the only reason that I'm missing any business right now is that I haven't expanded my capacity enough yet to be able to take on more. So I'm pretty full up. I'm looking to do some local partnerships with some other consultants and other folks in that do my, you know, basically my competitors, so to speak, but aren't out there marketing it and have some bandwidth and some availability. So I haven't yet got anybody say, well, I'm not going to pay for that. And when I come across that, you know, at that point I have to figure out is it some, you know, bottom line, yeah, you are going to pay for it. It's just a matter of, are you going to pay for it in this invoice or in this project scope, or am I going to roll it into something else? But I haven't seen it as a deterrent for me, and so I can't really say that it's impacted negatively in any way.
Well, that's great news. You know, that's incredible, and I think it kind of is a balancing act. It's like a teeter totter, where, you know, you put some weight on one side, which is your demand side, and then you got to go run over and put some weight on the delivery side, and you kind of have this teeter totter approach. And I think the challenges that you're having, I think a lot of people would be envious of. You know, you have almost too much demand going on right now, which is good news. And then you know, it's good that you're thinking in terms of systems, though, of building out business systems to kind of create that fulfillment. And I think you're much more scalable using a managed service approach than you would be as a break fix.
Oh, absolutely. The managed service approach it is allowing me to do more already than if I was just doing the break fix. And I have to credit you. You turned me on to the 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferriss, which one of the principles in there is to try to maximize as much as you can with as few customers as you can or as few clients as you can. And so by going in with a managed service approach, I'm able to generate the income, the revenues, without having to take every person that knocks on the door and says, can you come by and fix my laptop? Well, no, I can't just come by and do, you know, a one-off thing like that unless there's going to be something more substantial down the road, and maybe in that case, in that kind of scenario, I've missed out on some business opportunities. But at the same point, focusing on the building out the system and the anchor clients that I have right now is more important to me. So I can go back later and find out from those other folks if they're still looking for IT services. So. So if I can grow out the managed service business and have just a small handful of clients that generate steady income, steady revenues, and growth in the contracts there, then that's to me much more attractive as a business owner and ultimately someone that has an end goal of down the road selling off the business.
Yeah, exactly. You make an incredible point, and I'm glad that you read, you know, The 4-Hour Workweek, because I think it's just an incredible book, and it gives you that template for, you know, there again, creating systems. But in there, he's just really bold in the sense that he's like, look, you know, I'm found out that 80% of my problems come from 20% of my clients. And so I'm going to fire that 20%, and I'm going to do it in a very tactful way, in a very professional way. And if they're not going to kind of go with my brand or the way that I like to do business, then they can go do business somewhere else. And quite frankly, I would say that that is a huge point of unawareness that a lot of VARs, managed service providers, and IT professionals have, is they're always like, well, you know, the customer comes first, and, you know, they call me and I'm going to be on site within an hour or whatever. And they paint themselves into a corner because all they're doing is constantly doing the fulfillment. They don't have systems, and they end up working with the wrong type of customer. And really the best thing they could possibly do is kind of fire that customer. But, you know, when I say painting themselves into a corner, they're constantly focused on delivering the low profitability of maybe the break fix model, and they're not focused on building their business. So it's great that you have the awareness to have that, you know, focus and structure right now. So
I definitely received a lot of benefit from going through it was 6 or 7 weeks of conference calls with Don Begg. And just as I was starting up and really having some mentoring there and some insight from somebody and from a company like Do IT Smarter that has been in this business and seen the, you know, what works and what doesn't and really, you know, have blazed a lot of trails, because I didn't have to go and blaze those trails myself. I just listened and learned and acted upon it. And so that's really been a great benefit for me, and I think has helped lead to the success that I've experienced.
Well, yeah, and Doug, to your point, you know, we don't want to be considered kind of like the managed service franchise. We've actually taken a non-franchise approach, or it's a franchise-like approach, but we're not forcing someone to kind of do a system. The idea is that we'll give you the systems and the ideas to kind of build out your own managed service practice. And then, you know, we are always looking for these types of things to happen with partners that we've worked with, where you take it to kind of the next level and you really apply kind of what you've learned. So you're, you know, you get an A+, you're an ideal, you know, partner in that respect. So, and it's really kind of come from, I think, your awareness and your desire to kind of build your own business, to do it right, and to build systems, and then to be scalable, and always have that exit strategy kind of down the road, so you have the ability to kind of have something that has equity in it, and to be able to kind of, you know, sell that off later on down the road. So that's great. That's incredible. Well, hey, buddy, I know you're a busy guy. I really appreciate you, you know, taking some time and chatting with me today, and we'll definitely keep in touch and look for some other, you know, systems that you'll be delivering and other types of things that we can talk about in the future.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Tony. It's been fun.
This has been the Information Technology Podcast, sponsored by Do IT Smarter. For more information about Do IT Smarter, please feel free to email your questions, comments, and feedback to info@doitsmarter.com. Now, go Do IT Smarter.